With the first pick in the 2007 NFL Draft, the Oakland Raiders select quarterback Jamarcus Russell, LSU.
And here we go.
This is Wes Bunning, the director of college scouting here at the National Football Post, and you are listening to Draft Talk. And yes, we are on to version 9.0, and we have another awesome guest this week, Evan Silva of NBC Sports, Pro Football Talk, Roto World, fantasy football expert, draft expert, the guy does it all. Evan, what's going on, man? Thanks for joining me.
Wes, I'm doing pretty good, man. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing well. And this week again, Evan refused to come on the show unless we talked about his favorite small school receiver, Brian Quick. So we're going to start with the Appalachian standout and go into some other wide receivers in this year's draft. But Evan, I'll throw it to you first. Well, first off, is Brian Quick, is this your man crush of the draft, or is this just a guy you really like as a prospect?
I mean, it's just a guy that I've heard a lot of really good things about. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I've watched six or seven Appalachian State game tapes or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But like people that I know, that know people, you know, in the NFL community, are really, really high on this guy. And I don't think that Brian Quick is getting enough attention, so far, you know, just kind of in the normal media realm. I mean, you don't hear him talked about much on ESPN, you know, at all. Mm-hmm. Or anything like that. You know, and he's an FCS guy, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one of the first things you wonder is why is he not at an FBS school, you know, and he's probably going to be, you know, at the very worst, a second day draft pick. And, you know, the reason is because he was a basketball player. Mm-hmm. In high school. He only played one season of college football or of high school football, and right, you know, at this point he's got five seasons of full football seasons under his belt. Most players have eight, you know, at this point in time. So this is still a fairly raw player, particularly when you consider the fact that Appalachian State is, you know, a really run heavy team. You know, this season they only have about 410 pass attempts compared to, or rushing attempts compared to 290 passes. So, you know, this is not a guy, I mean, this is going to be viewed as a very raw prospect. But I think that, you know, the buzz around the league, I think, is very strong. And a couple of weeks ago for that Furman Appalachian State game, I know that there were at least 12 teams that sent representatives to watch that game. Brian Quick only had four catches for 60 yards. He was going up against possibly the best FCS cornerback in Brian Steed of Furman. But I think that there's a really big buzz around this player right now.
Yeah, that's good stuff, Evan. And the one point you brought up that, you know, is at the top of anyone's scouting report is 1 year of high school football. So not a ton mm-hmm. of experience. And he has that basketball background. And mm-hmm. when you look at the wide receivers with plus size, the 6'3", 6'4", guys, a guy like Brian Quick coming from that basketball background, it's his ability, like a power forward, to go up and get the football. So even when he's covered up, you know, if he's running some kind of vertical route, the 9, the 7, or the 8, he can still locate the football, box the guy out, and go get the football. And despite his rawness as a prospect, when I was watching him on tape, the things that stuck out to me is that this is a very balanced and coordinated guy. Off the line, he has a tendency to get a bit upright, but he's got a feel and he's got these long arms of how to set up a corner, shed or stroke a corner off the line versus press coverage and get into his route. Also, as a route runner, I was expecting a guy that, you know, just kind of ran through his breaks, wasn't real sharp or clean, had to gear down. He actually showed some balance and a little short area quickness and some sharpness overall as a route runner, which was something I didn't expect at all. At 6'4", we'll say 220 or whatever he is, I don't see a real explosive element to his game. I don't think he eats up the cushion very well. I think he's a strider who builds speed as he goes. And I think he's a guy who's always going to struggle to gain legit separation. But again, the upside's there. Even when he's covered up, he can still go get the football. And, you know, all in all, if you can get this guy early Saturday, late Friday night at some point, I think you give this guy some time to develop. I think he can be a better prospect than Ramses Barden was, you know, in that Malcolm Floyd type role in the NFL.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned the basketball background. I know that last spring he was measured, and Brian Quick was 6'3" and 5'8", 209. And you know, you talk about that, you know, the mediocre kind of ability to gain separation. You know, he can compensate for some of that with the leaping ability. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's going to be – he entered this season. I know that National Scouting had a 6.0 on him.
Yeah.
Entering this year. So that's like a top 75 pick. So he's been on the radar for a while, and he's having a good enough season, and he's been able to stay healthy, which is always very important, that I think that he might get a Senior Bowl invite. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens when he goes up against those, you know, those FBS corners. I think that he is a candidate for a candidate to be a guy who could really leap up the board if he has a big Senior Bowl week.
Yeah, I think you're right. And that was two things that I think can really help him or hurt him. One is when he sees that jump in competition, like you said, whether he's at the Senior Bowl or East-West Shrine, how does he handle 6-foot corners when they want to get up in his grill and press him off the line? I think that's the biggest thing. How does he separate? And the second thing, as we know, the wide receiver position, a stopwatch position. How fast do you run at the combine? Granted, that doesn't mean success in the NFL, but 10-1, it has a lot to do with where you get drafted. So if he wants to really move up that draft board, play well at the Senior Bowl, run fast at the combine, you got the size. I think those are the two biggest things for him going forward. All right, Evan, moving on, we're going to go to possibly, and what a lot of scouts and myself included think, is the number one overall wide receiver prospect in the country, and a guy who I like is one of the top senior prospects overall, and that's Notre Dame's Michael Floyd. What are your initial impressions when you've seen Floyd so far, not only this year, but in years past?
Yeah, and I've watched basically every game of this guy's career, and you could tell early on that he was going to be a superstar. I mean, when he was playing, you know, opposite Golden Tate as a true freshman, and you know, you could tell that eventually he was going to be better than Golden Tate, and it has panned out this way. You know, he's setting all kinds of records at Notre Dame, and I think that in terms of ability. You know, it's for the big wide receivers, it's always going to be a question of whether they can get off the line, you know, quickly. Mm-hmm. And I think that Michael Floyd does show that ability. I don't think that he's going to be like a field stretcher in the NFL. As he has been for much of his career at Notre Dame, I think he's going to be more of a possession receiver. And I think that his game is kind of like Brandon Marshall's a little bit. He's 6'3". 229 pounds. I don't know if he has those, you know, really dynamic run after catch, breaking tackles kind of skills of a Brandon Marshall, but I think that all around his game is very similar. He's a, you know, an impact blocker in the running game. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think that for seniors who we've seen put up so much production year after year, The concerns are always, I mean, you always kind of look at them like to pick apart portions of their game and, you know, of them as a prospect. And I think that the durability and the off-field issues are going to hurt him. And, you know, with Michael Floyd, I think that he is, you know, a top 30 draft prospect. I've seen a lot of preseason mock drafts, and they have Michael Floyd in the top 10. I mean, do you think with that kind of a background and you know, some durability issues, that Michael Floyd realistically has a chance to be a top 10 pick?
I think it's going to be tough, Evan. And you look at so many of these talented juniors potentially that could end up declaring. I think if this is a senior-only class, without a doubt, with his talent, he's a top 10 pick. But when you start talking about the Justin Blackmans of the world, the Alshon Jeffries, all the quarterbacks that are going to declare, the offensive linemen, I think that's what ends up knocking him down. But from a talent standpoint, when I watched him as a sophomore and compared him with John Baldwin, with Julio Jones, and with A.J. Green, I liked him second in that group behind A.J. Green. I watched him then as a junior, and it looked like he bulked up a bit. He didn't have the same type of explosion that I saw. Yeah, and that was the one thing. And it looked like as the year went on, he kind of thinned himself out a bit. But playing wide receiver, you have to be able to separate initially and then, of course, catch the football. And I didn't see that same type of explosion from him as a junior. Now watching him as a senior, it looks like he leaned out maybe a little more, and he's a little more fluid in and out of his breaks, a little more sudden and explosive, allows him to separate more. Again, I think he can create consistently after the catch. You saying Brandon Marshall, you know, there's few guys in the league that run after the catch as well as he does, but I still think he's a plus guy after the catch. I think he can beat press coverage. He can work the three-step game. He can give you an inside shimmy and release vertically down the field, and I think he can track the football well. Again, you brought up the character concerns, the durability. You know, obviously, he's had some troubles in the past, but if he can overcome that, and again, when it happened, he's an 18, 19, 20-year-old kid. If he can show that he grows up, you know, there's some teams that need receivers, those guys that can run the inward breaking routes and also vertically. The Chicago Bears come to mind. I think in that, I'll say 10 to 18 range, somewhere in there, I could definitely see him going at some point.
I know exactly what you're talking about, too, with, like, the bulking up. I think that he started his career at around 204, 205, and, you know, I think he's 230. I think he played last year around 230 or 235, and I think at this point he's somewhere in the 220s. And I think that's better for him. I would like to see him lean out even a little bit more. I think that he's got some stiffness. He's not going to be, you know, an elusive open field runner, I don't think.
No.
Maybe like a guy like Reuben Randall, who we're going to talk about next, who I think is a really elusive open field runner. I think that it's going to be interesting to see how they break him down, because, you know, he missed one game as a junior with a hamstring injury, 5 games as a sophomore with a collarbone, 2 or 3 as a freshman with the knee. He stayed healthy this season, which is a plus, but I think that scouts are going to be trying to break him down a little bit. I don't think he's going to go in that top 10, especially with the off field. The last couple of incidents were kind of red flag. One involved like a brawl, and the other one was a DUI where he blew twice the legal limit. And those are scary things. But I think that ultimately he's a smart kid. I mean, you listen to him talk. You know, of course, he went to Notre Dame, and he's going to graduate. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where, because, you know, like you said, he's a top 10 talent. And, you know, is he going to be able to maintain that kind of a draft status after they break him down?
Yeah, and I think this is a guy who, again, we talk about after run well at the combine. I think he's going to run 5. I think he'll be a low 4-5 guy. Maybe with training, he can get that high 4-4. But the interviews there and at the Senior Bowl as well, and he is one guy who I would strongly suggest, you know, you take that invitation. I think that's a week where he could go down there, dominate some of the top senior corners, put on a show, help himself not only on the field but also off the field to where he carries himself.
Definitely.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Last guy we're going to talk about, Reuben Randall from LSU. This LSU team is known for the stout front 7, the impressive secondary, but they got, in my opinion, Evan, one of the most underrated junior receivers in this entire class. Tell us what you think about him.
Yeah, I think they have excellent receivers all around. They don't use their tight end enough. Peterson, I think his name is.
Yeah.
And the other receiver, Odell Beckham, true freshman, I think he's going to be friggin' awesome someday. But Reuben Randall is definitely the cream of the crop, you know, leads LSU in every statistical category in terms of the passing game. I think that he creates, and, you know, people aren't really talking about him because, they talk about Alshon Jeffery and they talk about Michael Floyd and they talk about Justin Blackmon. And Reuben Randall is a third-year junior, so he's going to be eligible for the draft. You know, playing in a passing offense that isn't super, you know, efficient and doesn't throw the ball a ton, you know, it brings down his statistical, you know, appeal a little bit. But I think that in terms of just raw talent, I mean, I have to think this guy is a first round skill set. He's listed at 6'4", 208. I think he's probably more like 6'2". But when this guy gets into the open field on a slant, I mean, he can take it the distance. And, you know, he's still a big receiver, even though I don't think he's 6'4". I think he's physical, and I think that he creates more natural separation than a guy like Michael Floyd on a consistent basis. He can catch the ball over his shoulder. I think it's going to be real interesting to see if this guy comes out, because Ruben Randall has an amazing skill set as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. For a big guy, the thing that impresses me, you talk about the separation, that short area quickness. He's got a savvy mm-hmm. about him. It almost lulls these SEC corners to sleep because they see this big guy, and then it's that initial burst that he's able to create, body between the ball and the corner. And then he has this sneaky straight line speed element to him where you're expecting him to be like a 4-5 guy, and he just builds speed as he goes. And he has this powerful element to his game where he can shrug off contact and make plays down the field. I think he's a little lackadaisical as a route runner at this stage.
Okay.
That's maturity, I guess. You know, he'll glide his way in and out of the three-step game. But still, when you're that talented, you can still create that kind of separation. You can get away with those kind of things. You know, that happens. And I think he'll be able to tighten his game up as he matures. But overall, this is a talented kid. I like Michael Floyd a little more from a polish standpoint. I think Ruben Randall has a little more upside. And it's, you know, it's how these coaches get a feel for these guys off the field is what I ultimately think it comes down to. And that's the same with Alshon Jeffrey and Justin Blackman. I think, you know, one out of those four guys, teams that feel more comfortable with each of those players, that's the ones they'll go to fight for on draft day.
Absolutely. And, you know, Ruben Randall, I mean, there's something to be said about the effort kind of issue when, you know, he'll go long spells without, you know, even getting like a pass target in the passing game.
Yeah.
Because they can beat because LSU can beat opponents into submission, you know, with the running game. But yeah, I love watching Ruben Randall play, and it's going to be interesting to see if he comes out. My guess right now, especially if LSU wins the BCS championship, would be that he would declare. I mean, at least go, you know, ask the NFL draft, you know, council what kind of a grade he would get. And I would have to think he'd at least get a second round grade.
Yeah, I think it'd be, because you look at those LSU receivers, Terrence Tolliver, he didn't get drafted because of the injury concerns, but he was more of that third, fourth round guy. I think people targeted him as a talent. Brandon LaFell, he went, I believe, in late in the second round. And I think Randall's a little more dynamic than LaFell. So I would say second round is where I could ultimately see him coming off the board. And again, if a team falls in love with him, if he runs well at the combine, you know, mm-hmm. you never know with who these teams, especially late in the first round, are going to end up targeting.
Definitely.
Well, Evan, that about wraps it up. Before I let you go, I'd love the listeners to hear one of the or all of the many places they can find you throughout the World Wide Web.
Yeah, during the NFL season, most of my stuff is posted on rotoworld.com. And then throughout the year, I intermittently write stuff for NBCSports.com. And then beginning real soon here in January, just a couple of months, I'll be writing about the NFL draft on ProFootballTalk.com. And I'll do that through, you know, from January into May. So check that out, and, you know, keep reading. Wes is one of the hardest working guys in the business.
Thanks, Evan. And of course, you can see all these links of Evan's down in the post below, and you can also follow him on Twitter at Evan Silva. So, Evan, I want to thank you again for coming on this week. This is Draft Talk version 9.0. We'll publish every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, and make sure to tune back in next week as we have another new guest. Have a good week.